Are you all right? I'm just going to get my bottle of water. Sorry, need a sip. I left it up there, and then it was stuck, so I couldn't sneak up. To be honest, I'm not very good at being sneaky because I'm 6'4". Good morning. Have we got the PowerPoint? Do you want to stick it up, Lucy? That'd be great. just before I get started, it's great to be here this morning. It really is. I don't know about you, but in the short kind of half an hour or so already, I just feel like God's here. His presence is here. And I'm excited this morning, and I've been loving the worship. Thank you, guys. And communion. I love communion. I love to celebrate and to remember what Jesus has done for us and what he continues to do for us in our lives, because he's alive today, isn't he? Let's get an amen. Good. Come on, that was rubbish, actually. That wasn't good. Amen. Amen. Right, I know it's early, but come on. It's good, isn't it? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I mean, sorry, I thought I'd turn Pentecostal for a moment. Yeah, so, don't lose my train of thought. Where are we going with this? Right, so if you have missed a week of this sermon series so far, the sermon series is Serving at the Edge, Living at the Center. Living at the Edge, Serving at the Center. What is it, Shirley? Serving at the Edge, Living at the Center. Living at the Edge, Serving at the Center. Hallelujah. I'm getting warmed up. So if you haven't heard all the talks by Andy, then you can go to hbc.org.uk. Did you like the voiceover at the end of the cap video? That was me. I cringe every time I hear it. Anyway, so yeah, visit hbc.org.uk and click on, at the top there, resources, and you will find, or in fact, a big bit in the middle that says teaching series. Click there and you can listen again. It's like Radio 1. Listen again to Andy's sermon. So I've listened to all of Andy's sermons this term, not all of them forever, but for this term, and if you've missed any, they are good. So have a listen. And if you want to listen to me again, you know, after this week, I mean, you probably don't, but you know, if you do, you can click on it. So that's hbc.org.uk. It is great to be here. Andy and Sue are away. They're in London. Sue had a conference with work, and then they thought they'd make a weekend of it, which, why not? But I do also notice that Andy's only ever heard me preach once. Obviously, that was enough for him. And every time he asks me, he's never here. So I can really get away with anything, and he keeps asking me. But you love me, thank you. At least you guys turned up. This morning, though, at like 10:30, the room did look a little bit empty, didn't it? So I was like, oh, man, you know, there's no one here. And then I turned around like halfway through the first song. I was like, whoa, where did they all come from? So great. We're going to get started this morning. This morning's talk I've titled, If This Clicker Works. Clicker, work. Is it working? Is it working on yours? It's not working on the screen, though, is it? It's all right. Click. Oh, man. Don't tell Andy, because he loves this toy. He loves it. I've broken it. Click. Maybe, like, close it and start again. I'll just carry on until it's up there. Have you guys done the five-fold survey that Andy mentioned? Do anyone remember that? Put your hands up if you've done it. There's not many of you. It's all right. You've got another week. I'd encourage you to have a go. Fivefoldsurvey.com is the website, which it would... Oh, look. That's magic. Let's try again. Yay! Fivefoldsurvey.com. It's at the bottom. Have a go. I'm not going to talk about that this morning. Andy's going to talk about that next week, but I just thought I'd mention it this morning. I've done it myself, and I've been encouraging other people that I'm meeting to do it, and it's quite enlightening. So we believe that everyone has gifts of the fivefold ministry, as mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4, apostles, pastors, prophets, teachers, and evangelists. And mine came out as my top one is apostle, then I'm an evangelist and a teacher. And lastly, I'm a pastor and a prophet. So it means I don't really care about people and I have no idea what's coming. That's a joke. That's why we have prophets. They tell us what's coming, and then we can relax. But no, so do it. Find out what you are, and then Andy will talk about that next week. So we're going to start off by reading from the Bible. If you've got a Bible, open it. If you haven't got a Bible, move over next to a Christian. That's a naughty joke, isn't it? That is a naughty joke. Can you hold your Bibles up if you've got a Bible? Just hold it up. If it's glowing, we don't respect you. No, we do really, because actually I'm going to read it off my iPad. It was just a bad joke, sorry. Right, it's easier to see on my iPad than in my Bible. It says this, Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 7. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, or many parts, and these members do not have all the same functions, so in Christ we, though many from one body, though many from one body and each member belongs to all the others, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. And if it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Let's pray before we go any further. Jesus, I thank you for these few minutes we have this morning to spend together. I thank you that you are here with us already this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here. And Jesus, we love you. We love you. We think you're great. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that we're here in Chester. Thank you that we don't live in Liverpool or Birmingham. Thank you that you love the UK, but you love Chester that little bit more. Amen. Can you pray those sort of prayers? Can you pray that? No? Yes? Sorry if you're from Birmingham or Liverpool. I just picked those two. Liverpool. Liverpool's great. I love Liverpool. Catapult, yeah. I was opening myself up for a can of worms here. But to be honest, I say it in joke, but I love Chester. I don't know if you know, if you love Chester. And hopefully this morning you'll see some pictures of Chester behind my random images. Some of them I took, some of them I didn't. But I love Chester. Chester is a great place to be at the moment. And I'm excited to be in Chester. I'm excited to be working with HBC and part of the HBC family. And just the things that God is doing amongst the church, just not just HBC, but the church in Chester, right across our city, is just exciting. And it's an exciting time to be. I feel like we're at the beginning of a journey here at HBC that God's got some stuff in store for us. It might be a bit rocky in places, but I believe where we're going, God's got some good stuff in store. And I'm excited. I don't know about you. I'm generally quite excited anyway. It doesn't take much. Just go, woo, I'm excited. So, have you got stuff in your house which you have, and it has a purpose, but you don't really use? Here's what I'm talking about. I've been to quite a few people's houses over the years, and a thing that troubles me, I don't really understand it, but it's the decorative plate. Do you know what I mean? Have you got some, Shirley? Sorry if I'm offending anyone, but I'm not a decorative plate person. And you have the decorative plate on a shelf, you have it up there, and it's even got a little stand. It's got a little stand, and it's on. Have you guys, who's got a decorative plate? Come on, let's be honest. Fran, I knew Fran would have one. Sorry, decorative plate. I don't understand decorative plates, because it's like, you know, if I came into your house, just grab a plate, and you went to grab that. Oh, no, don't grab that plate. That plate's not for eating off of. You can't use that plate. It's just a decorative plate. Other things that I'm trying to think of some stuff. When I bought my guitar, I bought a new guitar. We had an amazing gift from God came into us, from all people, the student loan company. They wrote a letter saying we owed them money, so we sent all our documents back. They went, oh, no, sorry, we owe you money, and they gave us some money. I was able to buy a really nice guitar. But it was in the case, and I didn't really want to get it out, you know, like, because it was so nice, and I'd spent quite a bit of money on it. I won't tell you how much, because that's vulgar, and I was raised proper, just not to speak. And so I didn't want to play it. I was like, this is a nice guitar. But if I didn't get it out and play it, I wouldn't have the benefit of playing the nice guitar. And it is really nice. It's got a lovely tone to it. And anyway, I watched a TV program the other day, Used Cars versus Supercars. Have you seen that? Did you see that program? It was on a couple of weeks ago on BBC. And I love cars. I'm a bit of a petrol head. And this show, basically, there was a guy who sold used cars in South Wales, I think in Bridgend. And he swapped his job with a guy that sold supercars in South London, and they were used supercars, they were old supercars, and they swapped jobs for a week just to see how they do. So the supercar salesman went to Bridgend, and he actually sold some used cars, and the used cars ranged from about maybe a few hundred pounds up to about £5,000 max. The supercars, on the other hand, ranged from about £100,000 upwards. There seemed to be no limit to some of the money people would spend on these cars. And so the supercar guy, he did all right with the used cars, but the used car guy sold nothing. He just walked around the museum going, these are really nice cars. And this is what he said. He said, this is the used car salesman in the supercar place. He said, the sad thing is that a lot of these supercars are bought by millionaires just to add to their collection. They are never driven, which is what they were built to do. They're just there to look nice. And it just I don't know, it just made me think about this morning, and I've read out some stuff about gifts, and actually the tragedy comes is that we are all gifted. We have all been given gifts. That's what that passage in Romans says, and there's other verses in the Bible that say it as well. We've all been given gifts, but the tragedy is when we as Christians don't know how to fulfill those gifts, how to use those gifts, or we don't even think we're gifted. There are so many people, and maybe here this morning, who you don't know you're gifted, or you think, I have nothing, I'm useless. I've met people time and time again who think that they are no good for anything. It's like, why would God choose me? I'm like rubbish. I have nothing, I've no gifts, I'm not good at stuff, and they're just, there's like this stuff over them. Well, I pray this morning that if that is anyone here this morning, that would be broken off you, because it's not true. You are gifted this morning. I don't know if you know that. You are gifted. And sometimes we flip, if you're like me, I flip between really being really confident in my gifts. I'm like, I am the best preacher, to being really like, oh, I can't preach to save my life. Ah. And I flip between the two, but mainly because I'm an emotional wreck, if I'm honest, you know. And I'm sure many of us here are a bit like that. We're just up and down and all over the place. The other thing that I want to say is that get people alongside you. If you don't know you're gifted, find someone who you know, who loves you, and who you respect, and say to them, what am I gifted at? What am I good at? And ask people around you, and also pray, ask Jesus, what am I gifted at? What am I good at? But it's really important to have people around you. Andy and Sue have been people like that for me and Lindsay. They've been alongside us for quite a few years now, mentoring us and meeting with us, and we're really grateful for them for being spiritual parents to us, and a spiritual mum and dad, and I'm sure for many of us, that's the case with Andy and Sue, and others as well. There's other people here who've really encouraged me. I don't know how you, Shirley said at the beginning, she said, I don't know how you've come this morning. And I was thinking the same, but I don't know how you've come this morning. You know, sometimes if we are under that cloud of not being sure of who we are, it can feel like we're living, but we're not really alive. Do you know what I mean? Have you ever felt that? I've been there many times, if I'm really honest. And you know, when you feel like, what's the point? What's going on, God? Like, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing. God, are you even real? Do you even exist? Do you have those questions? Let me tell you, it's okay if you have those questions. I sometimes have doubts in my faith, honestly. But I often come back to that place of going, God, if you're real, I really need you right now. I need to know you're there. I just need some confirmation, actually, God, just that you're there. And it's always in those moments where God shows up and he's blown me away. And there's lots of stories of that, because it happens all the time. And I just go, I don't even know if there's a God. Oh. But there is a God, just in case you're wondering. And I'm praying that this morning he meets with us. But you feel like you're alive, but you're not really living. You're not really living. And if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you will turn up to church often feeling like that. And you don't even know why you're going to church. Why am I bothering? Why am I going? And you get to church and you come to the front door and then you see the welcome team. The welcome team in churches are a special type of people. You step in the front door and they go, welcome, welcome, hello, welcome. And you're like, hello, welcome, nice to see you. Nice to see, don't they? Is that what they say? They say, nice to see you. It's lovely to see you. How are you? Have you had a good week? Welcome, 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 welcome. Welcome. By the way, HBT team, welcome team, are amazing, and I love you guys. So I'm not pointing fun at you at all. But that's what happens, and I've been to quite a few churches where I've been welcomed at the door. In fact, I went to one Welsh church. No offence to Welsh people. I lived in Wales, and I love Wales. We were visiting my family, went to church, and the welcome team consisted of a very small, very enthusiastic older Welsh lady. And she was like, welcome! I was like, okay, here we go. And she wanted to hug me. But she was this tall. I'm like, so I had to do the awkward small person hug because I'm very tall. So I had to get down like this, because if I didn't go down like that, it would be a whole different sort of awkward. So I'm like, and she's trying to kiss me. I'm like, don't kiss me. I've only just met you. Anyway, she was very lovely, and I'm sure she meant well, but it freaked me out. It's a good job I was already a Christian. I might run a mile. But you step in the front door, you're feeling low, you step in the front door, you get welcomed, and you just say, and then, I don't know if you've done this, but what happens is my mouth often engages and says something before my brain has had the opportunity to kick in. So people often say, engage your brain before your mouth. I actually find it's a whole adventure if you do it the other way round, because I'm never sure what I'm going to say next. I don't know what's coming out of my mouth. I just go, oh, that's what I said. Goodness me. But what happens is, so I step in the front door, I get welcomed, and then my mouth says something, and it says the F word. Fine. I'm fine. I don't know what F word you thought I was going to say. Fine, I'm fine. Has anyone ever done that? I'm fine. What fine means is I'm not fine. I am not fine. How's the kids? Fine. They're probably not. They've probably annoyed you something chronic that morning. How's Lindsay? That's my wife. Fine. Fine. I mean, fine. Fine. And basically what fine means is I'm not fine, but please leave me alone. I want to go and find a seat. I don't know if that's you this morning. Maybe that's you. You've come in this morning and you're not fine. You might have said you're fine. And I want to encourage you this morning. I really do. My sermons, I'm not massive on expounding and teaching deep theological stuff. I want to encourage you and lift you up. And hopefully there'll be a bit of theology in there as well. But I want to encourage you this morning. You see, Romans chapter 8, I love the book of Romans. Romans is a good chapter, good book. Romans chapter 8, if you've got a Bible, you can flick to this. We won't be flicking around any more than this. Romans 8 verses 11-16 says this. 11-16. It says, and if by the Spirit, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. So you feeling like you're alive but not living? Do you want to live? Get the Holy Spirit more in you. Ask Jesus to fill you. Ask him to make it real and alive in you. Verse 14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. And I just want to pray that if you're in fear, that fear is broken over you this morning. Fear has no place in the life of a follower of Jesus. So rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. The word we read in this passage, adoption, isn't actually what we understand to be adoption in our culture and society nowadays. Adoption for us typically means adopting a child into the family because that child either hasn't got any parents or the family's broken down and they need looking after. I'm a big fan of adoption. My mum was adopted when she was a baby into a beautiful family who looked after her, nourished her, and saw her grow into being the best mum I've ever had. She's great. I love my mum. She was adopted, and so she's been really open about her adoption, and a few years back she traced her natural family, and that's a whole other story and an adventure, but my mum was adopted. But that's what adoption is in our culture and society. In Roman times, it meant something different, and I don't know if you know this. I found this out the other day. Someone mentioned it because it was shared at another church last weekend, and I thought, that's an interesting point. I need to look into that because it ties in with what I was going to say this morning, so I've looked into it. And here's what adoption means in the Roman understanding, because Paul's writing to the Romans. The Roman word is, you can flick it on if you want, Lucy, you can do that job for me, adragatio, because it's Italian or Latin or something. And actually that means, that's what they understood to be adoption in their culture. But what it meant was that often when a Roman man, family, person was getting older and they didn't have a son to pass on their stuff to, their inheritance. They didn't have a son to inherit what they had. They would adragatio a younger man into their family. The person they would adopt wouldn't be a child, it would be a man. So say it's a 60-year-old man who's nearing the end of his life, because in Roman times they didn't live much longer than that. If they got to that was great anyway. They'd adopt, say, a 30-year-old or a 20-something-year-old. And that person may already have a family of their own anyway. And they'd adopt them into their family. And what would happen, the significance of it was that literally, the way they understood it in their law was that their old life was as if it had never existed, and they stepped into the new life of being a family member under the dadness under the dad of the new family. So it's as if their old life had never happened, had been wiped clean, and they stepped into their life in their new family. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like the gospel? That's amazing, isn't it? That Paul would go, you understand this, so I'm going to use this to communicate something to you. Not only that, it gets better. They were, if they had debts in their old life, when they stepped into their new life, all their debts were wiped clean. In fact, you could even adopt a slave into your family and they would no longer be a slave. That's how significant it was. And when I read this and when I looked into it, I thought, that's amazing. That is amazing. And then the son who gets adopted in gets the full resources of the family he's now in. And the purpose of the adoption is to become an heir, to inherit everything. So when this passage says we are co-heirs with Christ, the adoption is to bring about the fact that we can inherit, we can be heirs. That's the point. That's the point of this adoption. That's the point of joining in the family of God, of becoming a child of God, is so that we can go, God, you're my father, I'm your son or your daughter, and I get the full inheritance, the full amount of heaven's resources are available to me, a son of God. Do you ever go to yourself, I'm a son of God, I'm a daughter of God? It says sonship, it means men and women, it's just that they understood sonship, but it means that women get the same sonship adoption levels, in whatever, as the boys do. So it's not leaving out women, it means both. You are a daughter of God, you are a son of God. I find that astounding, that the full resources then are now available to me. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is in you. It's the same. It's not a watered down version. It's the same. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, who gives life to dead, is in you. Come on, that is good. And I know in HBC, Andy's often talking about the fact that we're children of God and that he's our father and he loves us. And that's really from where we go as Christians. We need to be in that relationship. You can do nothing to make that more of a reality. Jesus has done enough. He died for you. That's it. You've said, yes, I'll follow you. You're a son or a daughter. You can't do anything to make it better. You can't become more of a son or more of a daughter. You're it. I went to Fresh Streams conference a couple of weeks ago with Andy and Sue and Hazel and Phil. We went, and I just went for the day on the second day. And after the speaker, we had a time of ministry at the front. And I went to go to pray for people, mainly because Andy gave me the look from the front. He was up the front and he's like, so I'm like, all right, Andy. So I went to pray a little bit reluctantly, if I'm honest, but I was kind of, I do like praying for people. And so I went to the front and I prayed for this older guy. And he's a Baptist minister. And he must have been in his late 50s, early 60s, that kind of age. He's an older guy, older than me. I don't mean he's old. Older than me. Seriously. You have to be careful what you say when you've got a microphone, don't you? Just let it go. Anyway, so I went to pray for this guy. And he's been a Christian like most of his life. He's a minister. I said, what can I pray for you for? And he said, I've been suffering with depression for quite a few years. And I just want it to end. And then he said, maybe it's what God wants for me. Maybe that's what God is wanting for my life. And something just broke in me. I was like, what? So anyway, I prayed for him. And then as I was praying for him, I was like, God, you don't want this for this guy. That's not what you want for him. So I stopped praying. And I was like, I just need to tell you, that's not the God I know. The God I know is a good father. And he loves you. He doesn't want you to be depressed. He doesn't want you to live in that pit of nothingness and darkness and horribleness of feeling low. He wants you to live, to have life. The Son came that you may live. He doesn't want you to be in that place. It's like, he doesn't want that. Come on, when we prayed and it was great and he just was in tears and it was a real amazing privilege to pray for this guy. And I don't know what's happened since, but I was keep on praying for him. This week I've been praying for him that he'd be lifted out of that, because that is not what God wants. In fact, what God wants is what Jesus says. Jesus says to, he tells a story, Matthew chapter 7. He says that if your son, he's talking to a crowd of blokes, he says, if your son asks you for some bread, how many of you will give him a stone? If your son asks you for some fish, will you give him a snake? And then he says, then those of even though you're evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to you? Jesus also says in Matthew's gospel, he says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, except for you, because I want you to be depressed. And except for you, I want sickness on you, because actually I don't really think you're worth it. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say that. That's not the gospel. That's not the Jesus I know. That's not the Father I know. What Jesus says to me, come to me, all who are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Every single person, if you're heavy burdened, if you're weary, if you're tired, if you're broken, if you're in darkness, if you're feeling sick and you're ill or whatever, Jesus says, come to me, all of you. That's the Jesus I know. Because unless there's power in this gospel, it's fake. Unless it's real in your life and in my life, what's the point? Unless I believe in a Jesus that can break addiction, that can break sickness and ill health, that can lift people up out of the miry clay, what's the point in following a God who can't even back up what he says? I believe he can because he's done it in my life. And I know other people he's done it in. I know people have been healed. I know people have been set free from addiction, just like that. I believe in that powerful God. That's the God I follow. I don't believe in a God who lets you suffer with depression because that's what he wants for your life. Of course he doesn't want that. He's a good father. Good fathers don't want their children to be miserable. I don't wake up in the morning and go, I really hope that Caleb will be a miserable little boy today because he's so annoying and just needs to learn a lesson, so I want him to be miserable. So I walk around the house just being miserable at him, give him a little prod every now and then. Come on, be miserable. Of course I don't want that. When he's miserable, it drives me mental. I'm like, I don't want you to be miserable. Yesterday, oh man, trying to get him out of the house. I don't want to go out. I want to stay in. And we're like, we want to go out because it's mental when we stay in all day with all three boys and plus a baby girl. Woo! We need to get out. And he was so miserable. When he got out, it cheered him up and he was great. We went running through the woods of Delamere Forest. We had hot chocolates out. We came home. We had pizza. We watched a family movie. We had a great time. But man, he was miserable in the morning. I didn't want him to stay like that. It was driving me insane. God doesn't want us to stay miserable. God doesn't want us to stay in a place of darkness. He wants to set us free. And if the Son sets you free, Jesus says you're free indeed. Like there is no like, you're kind of free. You're a little bit free. Maybe you'll be free if you're lucky. Like no, you get set free. And often we're our own worst enemies, aren't we? We make it worse for ourselves. If you believe this morning that you're not gifted, if you believe this morning you're not loved, you need to change the way you think. Because God doesn't think that. God thinks you're great. He has gifted you. You are blessed. You are everything God wants you to be because you're a son and daughter of Jesus. One of the things about this whole series that we're teaching and speaking about is that we're trying to encourage us as a church and as a family to use our gifts. We're trying to encourage that. And one of the reasons we should use our gifts is because we need people to serve tea and coffee. That's a really unspiritual answer. I just thought I'd say it. It's not actually what I was going to say, but I just thought I'd say it. But actually, the reason Paul is writing the Roman letter, the letter to the Romans, this is what Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, verse 11 to 12. I'll just read it out. You don't have to turn to it. It says, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. When we gather together and we use our gifts, it is to mutually encourage each other. So when I come to church on a Sunday morning and somebody who's gifted with prophecy prophesies over me, I'm encouraged. I am. Every time I'm encouraged. Even if they just say, Jesus loves you. Great. That encourages me. It lifts me up. But equally, a more practical gift, it says in the Romans passage we read at the beginning, if your gift is to serve, then serve. On a Monday morning, we have at HBC and Hall Lighthouse Centre, we have our team worship and prayer time. And quite often I'll lead some worship or I'll help do the prayer bit. And if I go out of the room, take my coffee cup back to the kitchen, I come back in, the chairs are often cleared away straight away. And it blesses me. It encourages me that people serve. When we get together, we use our gifts, practically speaking, spiritually speaking, it is to encourage and strengthen our faith. So actually, I'm being a little bit selfish in saying use your gifts because it makes me feel great. It encourages my faith. And hopefully, when we do that for each other, we lift each other up, we encourage each other. Yes, there are practical needs in HBC. Yes, we do need people to serve on the refreshments team and on the welcome team. We also need people to help out in the office. One of the spiritual gifts mentioned in another passage in Romans is if you have the gift of administration. Who knew that administration was a spiritual gift? Who knew? I didn't know until I read it in the Bible, which obviously I read it years ago. But yeah, we need people to help in the office as well. So if you want to help in the office, you want to help serve tea and coffee, then please get involved. But the volunteers that do already help do an amazing job, honestly. There are, within the children's, youth and families work, which is my main thing that I do with HBC, and I help to kind of do stuff with and encourage people and lead it a little bit. There are over 80 volunteers from the young age groups of like younger teens right up to older people within the church. There's over 80 volunteers. That is phenomenal. So whilst I'm saying we need more help, I'm also saying that's brilliant. Brilliant. So if you a volunteer, thank you, because you do a great job. But we do need help. I was on a church website the other day, and it said this about their volunteers. And I thought, man, that's a bit in your face. It said, if you ain't helping, you ain't helping. It's like, wow, okay, I better help. Oops. another thing I heard as well recently was I heard of people who have been asked to, like, not in HBC, by the way, this isn't HBC because you guys are great, but in another church, I heard somebody was asked to put away the chairs, help put away the chairs. I said, oh, that's not really my calling. Man, if it had been me, I might have actually punched them. Bang! That's my calling. It's not my calling, come on! Sometimes if there's a need, that's the call. When Lindsay and I went to Blaken, we felt called, we used that word, but actually what we saw was a need. We saw that there is a need for people in Blaken to know Jesus. There is a need for people like Lindsay and I to go and love the people of Blaken and to serve it and to make it our home. So we don't just live there, it's our home. Blaken is, we're part of Blaken. Blaken is ours. We love it. Love Blaken. But there was a need. It needed people to go. So we went and we stayed and we keep going. There's a need. Sometimes the need is the call. So maybe you look around church and you go, where's there a need? I need to step up. Or maybe you look around your community and go, where's there's a need? I need to step up. Wherever it is, whether you're out at the edge or you're at the center, where's there a need? Where do you need to serve? Maybe it's in your workplace. These spiritual gifts aren't just for church. These spiritual gifts are for out there as well. If your gift is to serve, serve in your workplace. If your gift is to prophesy, it's a bit more of a difficult one, prophesy in your workplace. Do you know, though, you can use prophecy without going, thus saith the Lord. You can just say, hey, I just want to encourage you this morning that I think you're really special and loved. You don't even need to mention Jesus if you might get sacked and you're a bit scared about it. But otherwise, just go for it. If your gift is to prophesy, prophesy at work. If it's to lead, do it diligently, it says. We need more leaders and prophets and people in the workplace as much as we do in the church or in the college or wherever you might find yourself week in, week out. In supermarkets, prophesy when you're in Tesco's. Prophesy when you're having a coffee in Starbucks. Serve. You can do all these things, not just in church. We're coming into land now. It's all right. Kevin, do you want to come up for me? Kevin's going to play, and then we're going to move into a time of worship. But I just want us to pray. But yeah, worship team, you come up as well. Might as well. And we're going to pray this morning. And I just wonder if you're alive but not living. That's where we started. Then I want to pray that something shifts this morning. And maybe it has already, and I pray it has. Just as we worshipped at the beginning of the service, maybe something lifted. But maybe you need to know that you're adopted as a son or a daughter. You need to know that. Or maybe you need to know that you're gifted. Whatever it is this morning, maybe something has struck a chord. Maybe God's just been speaking to you and it's not even relevant to what I've said, then great, because I'm up for that too. But if whatever God has said to you, we just want to pray for that this morning. And also, I just really felt that this morning, actually, I want to give a response, an opportunity to respond. So maybe you don't know Jesus or you don't know this God, or maybe you've come back to faith and you're kind of like, not sure where I've been at, but I want to just give my life to follow Jesus. Then I want to give an opportunity for that. And all we're going to do is in a minute, I'll just ask you to put your hand up and then we'll pray for some more stuff. But I just felt that was right to do this morning. Because actually this God who loves us says, come to me. He says, come to me. And I just get this picture of God just being open-armed and saying, come to me. If you are feeling a bit lost, if you're feeling like you're alive but not living, if you're feeling like you're in darkness and you want to step into light, he says, come to me. Come to me. So let's just close our eyes just for a moment. Jesus, we thank you that you're here. We thank you you're here. Just come, Holy Spirit. And if that is you this morning and you want to just respond and say, yeah, do you know what? I want to follow God. I want to become his son or his daughter. I want to step into that life that he gives. Then in a minute, I'm just going to count to three. I just want you to put your hand up if that's you. Everyone's eyes will be closed and I want to see you. I'm not going to ask you to do anything else after that. It's just that sometimes doing something physically helps to just make what you're doing spiritually real. Just gives it some kind of something. Some kind of something. That's a technical term. So if that is you, I'm just going to count to three and I want you to put your hand up. If you want to step into that life with Jesus, if you want to know this God who loves you, who adopts you as his son or his daughter, then I'll give you that opportunity. So one, two, three. If that's you, just put your hand up right now. It's great. Thank you. You can put your hands down. I'm just going to pray for you. Jesus, I thank you for those people who just put their hands up. I thank you for those people. Jesus, I want to pray that right now you would come into their lives. That right now you would bless them, you would touch them. That God, you would break anything that needs breaking over them. May they know they are sons and daughters of you. May they know that you are alive. And may they know that they also are alive. So we thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. And if this morning you need something breaking off you, if you just need to be like, I want to live, then I want to pray for you right now. Can we stand together? Let's pray. And then I'll pray, then we'll lead into some time of worship, and then we'll see where the service goes after that. So Jesus, I pray this morning as we come to you this morning, as we want to worship you, God, would you just meet with us here in this place? Where we need to know that we are gifted, God, would you let us know we're gifted? Would you just speak into our hearts? Where we need to have addictions broken, would you break those addictions? Where there's depression, God, we say, be gone in your name, Jesus Christ. Where there is sickness, may it leave your body. Come, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen.